For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Holy cow!
Please shut up!
Please shut up!
Gangsters, what's up, guys?
Here comes Brave! Here's the front of the plate!
You're killing me, Smalls!
Brave win! Brave win! Brave win!
I would be honored if you played football for this team.
Me play football?
Lance Dooley and a Georgia damn Bulldog, baby!
Sorry, Lake. My mom made me put on my jacket, and then she made me do the dishes.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
That's so funny. Last time I heard that, I laughed so hard I fell off my dinosaur.
Just a bit outside.
Oh, look at the sugar falling out of the sky. Look at the sugar falling out of the sky.
You think you'll ever get out of here?
One day, when I got a long white beard and two or three marbles rolling around upstairs, they let me out.
The Second String Podcast and Now Radio Show on 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, Athens News and Weather Station.
All right, Adam, simple question to get this here episode of the Second String Podcast off the ground, flying through the sky. How are you?
It's an easy one I can answer.
Yeah.
Not an easy answer, though.
Is Pharrell singing it for you?
He is.
Are you happy?
You know, I'm mildly happy.
Mildly happy.
Getting to watch Pro Day in Athens this week. That was cool. Thinking that all the entire sports world was watching, the entire NFL was in Athens.
So that only makes you mildly happy. What can we do to get you, like, really happy?
Some of that Boston butt that you cooked up last weekend.
How'd you like that?
It was great. You brought it by the WNGC Morning Show, which was awesome.
We did have a good barbecue sampling live on air. I think you gave me a legit good review. I hope you weren't saying it just to make me feel good.
No, the tenderness, the flavor that wasn't overbearing, the vinegar. I could taste the vinegar. But it wasn't overbearing.
That was my one personal critique of myself, which you need to be your own biggest critic, obviously. That's the way the world needs to work. You gotta always strive to do better. I thought I put a little bit too much of the sauce, because I don't want you to taste it and say, ooh, vinegar pork. I personally love it if I were making it myself for just me, but I know that's not everybody's thing. I want to put just enough sauce in there where you get a little flavor, but I don't want you to know there's a bunch of vinegar sauce in there.
And you pointed out, and it's so true, that you can put it with or without sauce. Mm-hmm.
No,
you don't need to, but you could if you wanted to.
Yeah, I never want to make anything that where you're just like, oh, it doesn't need sauce, because that'd be overwhelming. Like, that's a bad word. I don't want to be overwhelming. But I'm glad you got to taste the Booker barbecue. That's a good
thing. Listen, that's always one of those things that on the bucket list of foods you have to have the Logan Booker barbecue.
Well, ribs this week. If there's any leftovers, I'll bring them to
you.
Oh,
yeah.
The neighbors pick over the ribs pretty quick there, Adam. There's usually not many leftovers.
Right. I figured that you know, everybody's coming over for that, and there's barely anything left.
I know. One day I am going to bring, because I think Haley's husband makes ribs. I think Haley has mentioned that. I'm going to bring y'all your own rack of ribs.
And we want to do on the WNGC Morning Show between Logan of the Ref and
Mr. Haley.
Haley, of, you know, her husband.
To God, don't know his name. You probably do, because you talk to Haley all morning.
Yeah, Alex.
Okay, well, we'll one day have a rib-off. How about that?
Mr. Haley.
Make it work. No, but look, the mood is good right now. There's a lot of good things happening. The weather this week, holy cow, man. This is what we've been dreaming about.
Perfect weather.
All winter long. And we have not had a bad winter. It's not like we're shoveling snow and having to fight ice on our car. We haven't even had any of that, like, extreme cold snap that I can remember. I think last year, the winter before, We did have like a week where it was like 8 degrees and a lot of pipes broke. It was around Christmas,
miserable.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate that stuff.
This year was nothing like that. It was just, I think, gray and rainy. Mm-hmm. And that's where we were like, okay, all of a sudden we get perfect weather, no humidity, sunshine, nice cool mornings, nice warm afternoons. That's hiking weather.
You just said the four-letter F word, humidity. That's one of the worst one of the worst words in the English dictionary. I hate when humidity takes over in the summer, so we are in the Goldilocks zone. Now, look, it's going to get a little chilly between now and end of April.
We got a lot of time to cover before that happens.
You'll have a bad day now and then. It's not going to be 72 and perfect every single day. But back to my mood, that's playing a huge factor. I actually spent yesterday walking around the UGA campus. I didn't go home after work. I had to kill some time. Went and had lunch with an old classmate that works at Grady. And I just walked around listening to my earbuds, some good old jam bands, as you can imagine, Adam. And I went to the baseball game last night.
I saw you go into the Georgia-Iowa
mm-hmm,
game.
Mm-hmm.
And you also, which struck my eye on your Instagram story, mm-hmm. you went to the library.
Yes,
there's a room that you said. So what Logan decided to do, he's like just documenting his trip around the campus.
I'm having an internal debate with myself silently. Like, am I willing to share the directions to that room? Or should I gatekeep the rest of my life?
Why is that
what
room
do you think?
So special?
That is a room. Okay, I'm going to say this. I will reward the second string cheeseheads for being so loyal. And maybe one of them's a student. Maybe they know somebody that's a student. There's a room in the main library on the most beautiful portion of the Georgia campus, North Campus, which is just jaw-droppingly great. It's on the third floor. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and give detailed directions here, Adam. I don't think I've ever done this before.
I'm ready. I'm writing
them
down.
You walk in the main library entrance right there off the quad of North Campus. You go past the front desk. You go to the elevator on the right. Take that bad boy to the third floor. Get off the third floor. Take an immediate left. Go as far as you can go. And there's a room with some glass doors. You open it up. It kind of says a little sign like quiet room. Like, this is not for you to come hang out and talk to your friends. This is a quiet room. There's a couple of tables, and there's like five really comfortable chairs that overlook a window. And the window, is you can look out, it's like divided by the pillars of the building. Like, imagine the beautiful library.
Yeah. Great
front
great
pillars.
View.
You can see that, and you can see the quad. You can see people walking around. You get just the good vibe of the college campus, right? But the important part, the chairs are really comfortable. And it's a quiet room, which is fantastic to get real work done if you need to get real work done. But for some reason, this room is never more than like three or four people in it. And you could fit probably 20 if you needed to. It's just a very little known room. And in fact, one person that I went to school around the same time as me commented on that story yesterday. She was like, I love this room. Thank you for bringing back memories. And I was like, if you know, you know. Otherwise, you don't. But there's plenty of other places in the library people go and congregate. But I was a big fan of like getting in the zone when I was a Grady student in the journalism school, of just getting like the world shut off around me.
Great.
I'm a fan of quiet.
Great. Yep.
I used to sneak into the law library. The law school is right there on North Campus, too. It's really only supposed to be for law students. You actually have to have a badge to get into the library. I would not even think twice about it. Kind of walk in right behind somebody, didn't say a word. I tried to act like I belonged. Wasn't dressed nice like a lot of them are, but I would go find a very nice, quiet area of their law library because those kids are serious. They're not like the other buildings around campus where people are acting a fool. They're in there actually studying. You know what I'm saying?
You're the casual lawyer for the casual people.
I think I could represent myself if I needed
to. You show up in a Georgia shirt at the court, you'll be all right.
That's right. So I did that yesterday and just kind of walked around, killed some time, but I saw some of the old places I used to enjoy. Just look, we talked nostalgia. Was it last week, 2 weeks ago? Like, I'm a very nostalgic person. I love revisiting things from my past, like the University of Georgia. If it's been a while. Walking around campus to me is just brings a peace upon me. But I went and saw that room, and it was good. Then I went and had lunch, and then I went to the Georgia baseball game, which they're 17-1, Adam, at the time of recording this, man.
So let me ask you a question. In terms of the rankings in college baseball, mm-hmm. because college baseball as a whole is largely not publicized. It's just not.
It's hard to follow college baseball.
Where is Georgia ranked in terms of the top teams in the nation?
So they're not ranked at the moment.
Wow.
They probably should be and will be if we can win a couple of games against Kentucky. SEC play starts this week. That's when you really crank it up a notch. And admittedly, Georgia's not played the toughest of schedules. Tech is good, not great. Okay, Tech is not like what they've been in the past. Tech has had really good baseball teams over the years. I don't think this is one of them, but they're definitely the best team that we've played so far. Other games, you know, we're playing Georgia Southern is not that good right now. We beat them over at SRP Park in Augusta. We've brought in teams here like UNC Asheville, Northern Colorado, Stetson University, Georgia State. We went there, actually. Those teams are not good at all, but we're whipping up on them like we should. That's the thing you got to remember. It's not like you're winning those games 1-0 or 3-2, or you lose them. The one loss on Georgia's record right now was a weird one. You played Michigan State, who was not that great, came to Athens on a Wednesday night. This is a couple weeks ago, and Georgia lost 19-3. It's like, what the hell was that? Like, where did that come from?
Charlie Condon didn't play. A lot of other guys didn't play.
Yeah, actually, Charlie hit three home runs that game. I think it was like
you did tell me that. Yeah, yeah.
It may have been 19-6 or whatever, but he was bashing home runs. It was just the pitchers that Georgia used that day. It was deep into the depth chart, and a lot of guys getting work for the first time, and we just got rocked. But here's the thing, man. Charlie Condon, I'm glad you said his name because he homered yesterday, and he is maybe the best player in all of college baseball right now. There is a real chance. I think it's in July. I'll have to go look. But when the draft rolls around, the lousy, stinking Cleveland Guardians, which I'm still not used to saying, by the way.
I'll never say it.
I just won't. It's just hard to remember. But the Cleveland Guardians, they got the number one overall pick. There's a real chance they take University of Georgia baseball player Charlie Condon. Well, that'd be pretty darn cool if it did.
You need a big guy that can mash. Mm-hmm. You need a big guy that can that looks like a leader. I'm sure he is a leader of that Georgia baseball team.
He seems like he's got it all.
And listen, Cleveland hasn't had anything to cheer about in a while, right?
1948, I think, is their last World Series victory. The Braves held them off in 1995. Let's see, they lost to the Marlins.
And the Cubs.
In 97. And you're right, the Cubs in 16. That was a Game 7 also. I think they took the Marlins to 7 games. But, they've come close. But they've got a long, long drought. In fact, Atlanta, we're not in a drought anymore. We win championships around here. But, Cleveland's one of those cities. I guess they did win the LeBron brought them a championship a few years ago.
In 2016, they won.
Was it 16?
The Browns have never won a Super Bowl, and it's been, what, the 1950s since they won a championship? So, look, that's one of those. We always talk about Atlanta being a long-suffering city before the Braves won and the Dogs won again. But Cleveland is a huge sports town, and they haven't won really anything.
No, it's been a while. I always find myself gravitating toward wanting the Browns to do good. I do love Nick Chubb, but that's not the only reason. I think it would just be a really cool, good story if the Browns had a magical season. And I think that'd be awesome. Like, a few years ago, we almost had the Browns and the Bengals in the Super Bowl. Remember, Cincinnati did make it. The Browns got really close.
Right,
they were good
in the
championship
game, yep.
That would have been such an epic Super Bowl. If those two teams had matched up, I mean, neither have ever won a Super Bowl. They could have, fighting for the first Lombardi. Years ago, remember when, in fact, this was the Marlins year I was talking about.
97?
No,
2003.
It was 2003. My mind is all working here. We almost, the Marlins beat the Cubs in the NLCS, and the Yankees beat the Red Sox in the ALCS. The baseball gods owed us a Cubs-Red Sox World Series with like the droughts they were both in. That would have been unbelievably epic, and we got robbed of that because of the Steve Bartman. That was the game where he messed up at Wrigley Field, and God bless his soul. I'm a Bartman fan. I wish he'd – have you ever seen the documentary about Steve Bartman?
I have.
It's sad.
It's very sad, and what he had to deal with. You know, though, in 2016, we did get one of those World Series with – the Cubs and Indians, because the Cubs hadn't won since,
08, I think.
08, and then it was 48 for the Indians, and that actually was one of the best World Series that I can remember in a while.
That's a good call.
Non-Braves World Series. It really was.
Good call. You had two drought players in a World Series. That was fun. I just think that Cubs-Red Sox, Wrigley-Fenway, would have been epic and awesome. Now, the Red Sox did win the next year, so they didn't have to wait long, but we were close to that. But yes, as far as, I forgot what even led us down this conversation.
Well, I think we were talking about the Browns and the Browns not having a title. And what was crazy about the NFL playoffs this year is we had the Browns and the Lions. and the Lions have never won. Mm-hmm. They've never been.
They'd be a good
They're
story.
Another Hallmark franchise of the NFL.
That's another one I would like to see happen. I also have this admiration for the Bills fans.
Yeah.
I think Buffalo, they're a fun team to watch. I always enjoy when Buffalo's on TV, but that place would lose its mind if it won a Super Bowl.
Logan, any fan that will go and WWE style jump on a tailgate table, they deserve their team to win a championship.
Oh,
if you can
man.
Risk bodily injury before the game even starts, come on.
Let's do a quick fact check.
Kareem agrees. Give him something, man. But no, they're fun. They'd be awesome. That's another good documentary, by the way. ESPN 30 for 30. It's called The Four Falls of Buffalo. It documents their four straight Super Bowl losses and how much it means to just that area and how heartbreaking it was. I can't think of the kicker's name. Forgive me. It's
Scott Norwood.
Scott Norwood.
And what was crazy about that, Logan, is their first Super Bowl they lost, they were the closest. And then it all went down here. It's like they didn't even show up. But I think the resilience of that team to get their butts whooped the next year and then make it back. I mean, they really convincingly won those games besides the Oilers game, you know, coming back. But they convincingly got into the Super Bowl, and then they just didn't even show up those last three times.
All right, Adam, point blank, yes or no. Will Kirk Cousins bring a Super Bowl Lombardi trophy to the Atlanta Falcons in the next couple of seasons?
No.
Come on, man.
No.
That guy's a veteran.
I like
Kirk Cousins.
The guy's
solid.
I like Kirk Cousins as a guy. Mm. I think he's okay as a quarterback. And the reason why I say he's okay, sure, anybody can throw to Justin Jefferson or Stephon Diggs or, you know, who he had.
Now, there's a rumor out there. I don't know if there's anything to, like, confirm this or not. Justin Jefferson allegedly has told his agent he wants to continue playing with Kirk Cousins. Could the Falcons work a deal out to get Justin Jefferson in Atlanta?
They just got the guy from Chicago.
Darnell Mooney, yeah.
I don't see them having money for it. I think they're running out of money.
They have money. It's just, do you want to put it all in a couple of receivers, or do you want to address other issues too? That's the problem.
I think he has enough. Listen, you have Drake London. Mm-hmm. You have Kyle Pitts. They need to use Kyle Pitts. You've got to use him.
And I'm hopeful the new coaching staff will. I kind of put that on the Arthur Smith more than anything else, of not using your tight end as well. You draft him at number four overall, then he just kind of is
right.
out there.
Like he is a Justin Jefferson-level type of pass catcher in that he should be a feature. And then you got Bijan Robinson. Mm-hmm. You have great weapons. Do I think? No, I don't. I just don't think.
Well, the only reason I say no is because I don't think the Falcons will ever win a Super Bowl.
No.
I'm going to spare either. My wife, because she listens, and others, my whole spiel about what I would do, an insurance policy. Long story short, here we go. I would sign an insurance deal right now today if you put it in front of me that says if the Falcons do not win a Super Bowl in my lifetime and I die 40 years from now with no Super Bowl, all my family gets millions and just great insurance policy. But if the Falcons mess up and win a Super Bowl while I'm alive, all of us are going to a North Korea labor camp. Spend the rest of our days. I would sign that policy.
Have you Googled pictures of a North Korea labor camp?
It's terrible, but I have zero fear of going because I know the Falcons will never win a Lombardi trophy. No. I just feel that way with them.
Listen, if they couldn't win with Matt Ryan, and you remember the weapons they had, and they actually had a decent defense. I mean, to hold the Patriots to three –
terrible, man.
Listen, you held Aaron Rodgers in the NFC Championship game, Russell Wilson at his prime –
That was hurt. That was bad day.
You can't
bad
win with
coaching.
That.
And terrible coaching.
Listen, in 98, if you couldn't win with the Dirty Birds, just
know,
that
man.
Dance.
That's
come
a
on.
Good point.
What was that all about?
What was the running back's name? Jamal
Anderson.
Anderson,
who I'm friends with on Facebook. His son, I watched him play his senior season for Mill Creek down at Georgia State Stadium, who goes to Clemson. I think he goes to Clemson now.
He didn't have legs. He had tree trunks.
Oh,
he would run through you on that thing.
I mean, massive oak tree.
But no, the Falcons, I like the moves. I'm not down on the Kirk Cousins thing.
No.
I don't think that Justin Fields was going to be what Falcons fans want Justin Fields to be. So I think he would have been a very gross disappointment when it was all said and done. I think of what's available right now, Kirk Cousins was probably the safest and best option. You paid a lot for him, but here's the thing. You didn't set the market. You paid what the market was dictating. When Baker Mayfield got a $100 million three-year deal a week ago, you knew right then and there, oh, crap, we're going to have to pay out the you-know-what for a quarterback, but we have to do it because Desmond Ridder, Taylor Heineke aren't getting it done, period.
No, you can't.
So
you, can't
you
do
had
that.
To go pay a
but
lot for a quarterback.
Here's the problem, Logan, is you better hope there's a free agent that comes along because Kirk will get you to 10, 11 wins. So you won't be in position to be drafting a quarterback in the next couple of years. And Kirk's shelf life, let's give him at best three. Right? Three years, I think it is. I don't think he's going to make it to 40.
The way his contract is structured, it's basically a two-year deal. I know it says four, but the two guarantee with the options at the end. Like, you're probably not going to have it more than two. I hear you on the draft thing. My thing is there's so many quarterbacks that blossom that are not a top 10 pick. You're just going to have to hope to get lucky with one of them.
Right.
That's just period. But that's just where you're at.
And that's not a product of bringing Kirk Cousins in this year. This is a product of years and years of messing up.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
When Matt Ryan, you're just
cleaning up a mess.
Right. You did not. And the other thing, too, is the Falcons have always been just good enough not to pick high and just bad enough not to make the playoffs.
Oh, life of a Falcons fan, Adam. That's just what we go through. Thank God we have the dogs to give us like an actual structure.
The other
success.
NFL team.
Exactly. All right, quick break. We'll come back, wrap up hour number one. It is Adam and Logan on the Second String Podcast and Now Radio Show on WGAU.
Now back to the Second String on 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, Athens News and Weather Station.
Talking about the good vibes, man. I think I talked a little bit about Underground Spring House last week. They released this new clip just this week, actually, them covering Melissa from the Allman Brothers.
Oh, that's a good one to cover.
That's a good one, man.
Anything Allman Brothers is good to cover, right?
Yeah, they're the Underground Spring House. They're a bunch of Georgia guys, and they do a lot of Allman Brothers covers in their shows, I've discovered. And this one I've not heard until this week, but I love it, man. So you could sit on a back porch with a drink in hand, watching the lake.
We're
got
here.
The smell of barbecue, or just the Second String studio.
We're here. I mean, this is what we've wanted, and we've got it.
Right. Good vibes. They are alive. I guess we got to deal with pollen before spring is over. Does that bother you?
It bothers me. I take my medicine, so I'm not in here sneezing. I won't be sneezing all over you or the equipment.
I appreciate that.
But it's the voice. If you know anything about radio people or any, you talk for a living. That's where it kills me.
It's a valuable tool.
I might be doing a show that sounds like I was just in a cigar bar.
Ah, that stinks. I luckily have never been affected negatively by it. Doesn't mean it won't happen all of a sudden.
It's a blessing, man.
But I know that people do, and that stinks. So I personally love when the pollen comes because that means spring is officially here. Some of those blooms and stuff I've noticed on campus in my house.
So you're okay with the green film on your truck?
It's gross. I just know that it means that we're about to have like a much prettier surrounding. Because pollen, it actually, here, are you sitting down, Adam?
I very much.
Pollen pollinates things. It makes them grow. So there's a reason. Pollen is a good thing. It's just, it is gross when it gets all over your car, your furniture in the backyard, and all that stuff. It's a hassle.
I'm excited. Listen.
I try to think the positive side of it.
I know we don't have much time here, but pollen season, when it's over, you're a couple of months away from football season.
That's
when
true.
It really is over. You got June, July, and then August. There you go.
Here's the way I think about the countdown, and this will creep up on us pretty quick. We got a lot to do in spring. We got March Madness about to crank up. We're going to have the Masters, Braves opening day, a lot of good stuff. But by the end of May, I think this is the way it works out pretty much every year. Do you agree the Thursday and Friday leading up to Memorial Day, like, I know we're working, but those are good times. Like, we're getting ready for a good summer weekend.
You know summer's coming, yep.
It's here. Usually the Thursday of Memorial Day weekend, going into the weekend, that's 100 days until kickoff. Because if you kick off on that Saturday of Labor Day, you are right at 100 days until college football gets cranked up. So that's always like an extra icing on an already
and
good
you see
mood.
It coming. You see
Absolutely.
It coming, yep.
So it's coming, man. We're kind of transitioning into a really, really fun time of year. Georgia basketball, just real quick, there's not much to say about them. They're going to fight their tails off. Tonight, the night of recording this, they're going to play Missouri in the SEC tournament. I think that's a winnable game. If you advance, you play Florida, another winnable game. You've lost to them twice, but you could have beat them twice. Let's just get weird. Let's get a really weird 2008-like week coming up the next few days.
That's what we need, yeah.
But what I'm really excited when we get back on the air in a week, we'll have our brackets. In fact, it'll be tournament time for the big round of 64. Georgia's not going to be in it, but we're still going to have a lot of fun with that.
I can't wait to fill it out. I really can't.
I can't wait for Haley to fill one out.
Just judging by the mascots or judging by the name of the team?
I bet she'll smoke us in a bracket just because that's the way it works,
she's
man.
She's going to pick North Carolina A&T.
Exactly. Hey, halftime adjustment, second string. We'll be right back on WGAU.
You're listening to The Second String on 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, Athens News and Weather Station.
Ah, little Beck Losers. Just take you back to the 90s. You want to get your skateboard out, dye your hair?
That was the best video. That was the. And when that song came out, I was like, what is this? What is this? I love this.
This guy called Beck. Remember when Kanye was like making fun of Beck? Like, this guy doesn't do anything. It's like, Beck actually plays like 19 instruments.
Yeah, Kanye.
And he's pretty talented.
Can we just talk about Kanye West really quick?
You have at it, man.
He just put this on his Instagram this week. And he was, you know, he had the number one song on iTunes, whatever. It's not hard to do that anymore. Well, he decided to go off on Adidas because they screwed him over. Mm. He went off on Justin Bieber's wife. Mm. He went off on some other organization that did him wrong. He doesn't like the rapper Drake. So he decided to say all these negative things about everybody just to celebrate him getting a number one song.
Lord have mercy. I didn't realize this. So I used to know, like, I don't know why I know random things sometimes, but every once in a while in the morning show, if we're talking about a celebrity, say they have a birthday or something, I'm always curious, what's your net worth? I'm fascinated by that. I know that Kanye used to be a billion-dollar man. There's not many of those out there, by the way. But I'm reading this. According to Forbes, this is actually written almost a year ago. This is a while back. After Adidas, you just mentioned, cut ties with Kanye after some anti-Semitic comments in 2022, and other companies cut ties with him as well, he has dropped from $2 billion to $400 million net worth. He needs to, like, get a GoFundMe to pay his power bill.
Could that be Kardashian-influenced? You know, when he dated a Kardashian, it kind of all went downhill.
Can you imagine, like, man, I'm going broke. I've only got $400 million left.
I can't even imagine.
My Lord,
that.
Have
what
mercy.
In the world?
Man, give me like $100,000 just out of nowhere, and I can solve a lot of problems with it.
Yeah,
you know
of
what
course.
I'm saying? Like, I don't even need your $400 million. Just give me a nice one-time gift of $100,000, and that's going to make my life a heck of a lot easier. Just that little amount of money.
It is
for some people
unbelievable the amount of stupid stuff these celebrities buy. And then
I mean, I'm talking like I'd buy an $85,000 boat. And then a used truck to pull it. Life is good.
That's it.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey,
that's all you need, right? Anyway, Beck Loser. I'm glad Kanye came up because I think he is a loser, to be honest with you. But I was actually going to talk about another set of losers that rubbed me the wrong way and a lot of our second string cheeseheads as well. Everyone ever heard about the Tennessee Volunteers?
Mention them a few times to me. You have
a bunch of dorks up there. So here's what happens, man. So Georgia has won recent national championships in the sport of football. That obviously is the most coveted national championship for most of us in college sports. You can get up in New England and things change. I get that. But football's the holy grail, okay?
Right.
For at least for down here, okay? We love our football, and we would trade arms. We would sell our children or trade our children, some of us, if you could tell me my alma mater is going to win a national championship in football.
Okay, how many children? Let's just say you had unlimited children. How many children would you trade?
I'd give two or three.
Two or three, yeah.
Yeah, I'd trade the dog for him.
You would trade?
No, I'm kidding. I would
say
that's a
dog's hold
no.
A special place in your heart.
I don't know if we could trade the dogs for a national championship, but the point is we take it very seriously. Here's what the Vols have been doing lately, and I'm going to equate them to sort of Auburn right now. So Auburn loves to like sit back and be like, we have a family atmosphere at Auburn. They use the word family all the time when discussing Auburn. Auburn family, 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 family. It's like, you're not unique to that, okay?
No,
a lot
everybody
of colleges.
Everybody uses that, yeah.
Yeah, anybody that has a connection to a college, whether you're just a fan, an alum, a donor, you all have this family feel when it comes to, you know, the university itself, your fellow fans, all that stuff. But Auburn likes to act like they're the only college in America that you can say the word family. And if you mention it in yours, they're going to jump on you like, that's an Auburn thing. You don't have the same family we have. Okay, so back to the Vols. How does this tie into the Tennessee Vols, you're wondering? Tennessee, for the last couple of years, I've kind of broken this down on my Twitter. They have adopted, the fans that is, they've adopted a new coping mechanism. They want to point out that, oh, you silly Bulldogs, you win these national championships in football, but we're a everything school. everything. We're not just a football school. We're an everything school. Our basketball team consistently in the top 25. Our baseball team was number one all season a couple years ago until Notre Dame beat us in our own stadium. We're a Lady Vols, the basketball. They've always been
legendary,
good.
Right.
And they are. They're not wrong. Football was ranked recently. They got up to number one in the college football playoff poll before Georgia smacked them in the rain here in Athens. But they and even the UGA Athletic, the Tennessee Athletic social media, they've even recently put like graphics up of everything school, and they'll have a basketball player, softball player, baseball player, football, blah, blah, blah. But it's a coping mechanism. It's literally the way they're dealing with watching teams that they hate, like Georgia, win football national championships. Teams they don't like LSU, winning baseball College World Series. I mean, just everybody around them. I'm trying to remember the last SEC team that won a basketball championship, but Kentucky's right around the corner.
Kentucky has always been there. Yeah,
they're
right.
Always the big brother to Tennessee basketball.
Do you think that Tennessee is just caught in the middle of this web of you've got Kentucky dominant in basketball? We can say Georgia is dominant in football. Oh, not very far south, Alabama was dominant in football.
Alabama kicks their tail like a habit, man.
Baseball, you've got numerous teams. And Tennessee's just kind of here waiting to figure it out.
They've had to watch Ole Miss, Mississippi State, LSU the last three seasons. Those are your three most recent College World Series champions. And they think they're there, but they always fizzle out in the postseason. That's just what Tennessee baseball does. They'll spend all of our regular season winning a ton of games. They never travel, by the way. They only play in Knoxville until the SEC schedule. But it is they will brag to your face how we are good at everything. We don't need just a couple of those football championships because we're an everything school. Well, I did the digging, Adam. I went on the Wikipedias, you know, the best place for research.
That's all you got to go, man. You don't need anything else.
Real quick, 30-second gripe. I can't stand the, war against Wikipedia from, academia world. A professor will tell you in their class, do not use Wikipedia for anything you can't trust. It's like, it's actually pretty darn accurate.
Yeah, because you got people that sit there and look to make sure it's accurate.
Like, I'm not going to cite it in a research paper, but I will absolutely use Wikipedia to guide me in a better direction for something. I think Wikipedia is an amazing website, and I appreciate those that keep up with it and keep it fresh. But anyway, I went to the old Wikipedias for my research, okay? So this would be null and void if I turned it in college. Do you know the last time Tennessee, Adam, has won a national championship in anything, any sport? Just take a quick guess as to what year that could have been. If you want to throw the sport, go ahead and throw that out there, too.
It's either got to be women's basketball or football.
What year would it be?
Boy.
And we're talking about all sports.
All sports.
We're talking gymnastics, equestrian, swimming, indoor, outdoor, track, tennis, everything.
I'll give you a women's basketball right before football. Okay. I think women's basketball won it in the 2000s, so the 2000-2010 era.
2009 is the year. Okay, so you're right in the window there. Women's indoor track.
Oh.
Is the last time that Tennessee lifted anything resembling
and I ran
a
track
national
in college.
Championship. Did you really? What was your best event?
I was 4 and 8 in mile. Mm. But I'll tell you something.
Wait, what'd you run the mile in?
4:20 was
That's
my
ridiculous.
Best.
That's ridiculous. Are you kidding me? Yeah. That's
it's pretty fast.
I'm impressed. That's
but
ridiculous.
Back to this. Women's
I want
indoor,
more on that later.
Indoor track is a step down from regular track because you're running.
Sure. I get it. Okay. I totally get it. You're not dogging indoor track. It's
no.
just, but they won indoor track back in 2009. All right, let me pull this up to make sure I'm reading this all correct. We don't want to libel these people. You know what I'm saying? We want us to make sure we're saying
no libels.
This all correctly.
No, we don't. We're not liable for
not
anything.
At all. All right. So in 2009, that was their most recent. I was actually looking up when's the last time they won women's basketball. They have not won one since 2008, which is again in the window.
Right in that window.
2008, 2009. All right. Here's what happened. They're going to tout themselves as an everything school, right, Adam? We're good at everything, except here's what's happened at the University of Georgia since 2009, okay? Gymnastics, 2009 national championship. That was actually the fifth of five in a row, but that's the most recent one, and it took place after they crowned the women's indoor track at Tennessee as national champions. Like a month later, Georgia Gym national champions. Cool, right?
Right. I'll take it.
Hey, we're talking everything, right? Everything school. How about equestrian? The girls riding the horses over in Bishop, which is a beautiful, beautiful sport, by the way. I know nothing about it.
Never seen one.
But I have gone over there to shoot a photo gallery for a project with school, and it is just aesthetically amazing looking at these beautiful horses. And be honest, pretty girls riding pretty horses.
You can't miss them.
And making the horses do really cool stuff. I had a really good time going to see equestrian. Well, Georgia, since Tennessee has won their 2009 Women's Indoor Track National Championship, Georgia won the Equestrian National Championship in 2009, 2010, 2014, and 2021. We're not just a football school, Adam. We're a horse school, darn it.
We got the horses, you know.
We got the horses, baby.
Get on them horses and ride. And listen, if there's any gripes from Tennessee now,
There will be.
You just have to suck it up and do better.
Got to do exactly. Do better.
Do better.
That's the mantra you got to live by. All right, we're not done yet. Women's swimming is a powerhouse under Coach Jack Bowerly here.
That's
in,
right.
He was in with you guys at one point.
Yeah.
They won the national championship since Tennessee's in 2013, 2014, and 2016. All right, we're not done yet. How about men's indoor track and women's indoor track when we swept that bad boy in 2018? Both teams won the national championship in indoor track. The next year, 2019, women's indoor tennis lifted up, Adam, you guessed it, the national championship trophy.
We're up to 10 now of what you've just
said. Are you
said.
Counting them all
yep,
out?
That's
okay,
10.
We'll add two more because Georgia football the last couple
12.
Of years yep. has won 2001, 2021, and 2022. But Tennessee's an everything school, Adam,
because they
were ranked for a couple of weeks in basketball and blah, 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 blah,
that,
blah.
That was their claim to fame.
Pretty much, man. It's a we need attention complex to call themselves an everything school. And that's just Georgia, by the way. If I wanted to go pull up Alabama, because I know Alabama golf, obviously football. I think they've had a women's, I think their softball may have won. There's a lot of teams around Tennessee
like
that,
I said, right.
that don't like the Vols. Exactly. Go throw Kentucky in there, too, that lift up trophies.
South Carolina, right down the road.
Women's hoops is amazing
yep.
over there. Now, their football, we could go on a rant about their football now trophy room. They got nothing in there. They got the 1969 ACC Championship trophy, and that is it,
it's
sir.
Echoey in there.
That is it, absolutely. But it's just a random spring gripe, and thank you for letting me do it, having a little rant, that it drives me nuts to watch a Vol fan. And if you know any, and I actually do, they will look you in the face and be like, well, your football's cool, but we're an everything school. It's like your school has sold you a coping mechanism, and you have adopted that as your personality. Like, I want to pat you on the head and feel sorry for you while I go back to my closet and pick which football national championship shirt I'm wearing to work that day, because I got options.
The next time a Vols fan would say that to you, you pull up Wikipedia and you show them the comparison, and you don't even have to talk.
You're darn
here
right about that.
And here. And that's it.
That's right. Well, thank you for letting me just throw
some
shade at Vols.
There's sometimes you got to do that. You got to let it out. There's frustrations that dog fans have that have nothing to do with the dogs. It's from other fans, and there's only a point where you can ignore them. You're like, all right, shut up.
I don't care for orange, Adam. I don't care for orange
no.
at all. Two of my favorite games in the last handful of years, you got to go way back for one of them, was when Georgia beat Tennessee in Knoxville 41-0. In 2017, it was the year after they beat us with the Hail Mary in Athens. And my good friends and my wife, we went up to the game, had a great mountain weekend. And I will never, as long as I live, go to Neyland Stadium and watch Georgia win 41-0. That was awesome. Absolutely awesome.
Butt whooping.
And then the rain game in 2022 here when they came in number one, as we mentioned a moment ago, from that college football playoff ranking. But we decided it's our day, not yours. We're going to whip you up and down. The rain came, and it kind of stalled in a good way, and that was all she wrote.
What do you think is the problem with Tennessee football? You know, it's a name. It's in the biggest conference. You've got a great fan base. They're delusional, but they're very delusional. They're delusional. But, I mean, they come out. What do you think is the problem? They've had NFL talent.
I think they'll actually be a school that benefits from NIL. I think when they had in a previous model, when you couldn't do it out in the open, sure, everybody paid people, but I think now they'll actually benefit a little bit, because when they were recruiting, like actual recruiting out of high school with guys that stayed around for 3 or 4 years, they were going up against the Bama, the rise of Georgia recently, the last 20 years or so. Going up against, you know, everything around them, Florida State, Clemson, throw a lot of teams in the South that they did not have that Philip Fulmer, Peyton Manning magic of the 90s, which was really, really good. Ironically, they did not win a national championship until the year after Peyton left. It was T. Martin that quarterbacked that thing. But they were just sort of the hot commodity. They had everything going at the time. But since Philip Fulmer's been gone, they've just been kind of walking in the desert trying to figure it out. I think that now that they can openly pay players, I practice this. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Their quarterback this year's name is Nico Iamaleava. Repeat after me.
Nico Iamaleava.
Iamaleava.
It's going to take some time.
You'll get it later. But he's like being paid like $8 million over whatever contract he has or agreement. No contract. Agreement.
Agreement, yeah.
Of NIL. And I think he's going to be actually pretty good before it's all said and done. Like, they can do that kind of stuff now. But they just got momentum back in the 90s. They capitalized on it. They convinced a lot of really good players, especially in South Georgia, to go play for the Vols. Those guys are going to Bama and Georgia now, and it's about to be more Georgia than anything without Nick Saban. So it's just different eras, different peaks and valleys of what Tennessee benefited from. And back to the delusion comment you made, Tennessee fans still think, or they have thought for the last 25 years, that it's still their birthright to have all the things that went right in the 90s still go right, but they are denying the fact that they haven't won anything in any sport since 09, and they're watching all the rest of us big boys, their big brothers, win important stuff.
It's like you're going to like a debate, a political debate, and they just deny. Tennessee is, right? That's what Tennessee fans are.
Pleading the fifth.
Yeah.
No doubt. So anyway, it's just, yeah, it's a good day to hate Tennessee. You know why? Because the sun came up today.
Listen, the only thing orange should be, and I don't even like them, is the cones on the side of the road. Get them out anyway.
That's what I'm talking about. Even make those like a mauve or something.
Mauve, yeah.
Like a nice, like a sunset mauve. That's mauve. If you know, you know. Look it up if you haven't. So anyway, yeah, spring practice is here. We're watching, as we're recording this, Pro Day, which there's nothing to watch. It's guys working out. But it's still, it's exciting to watch. You know what I love about Pro Days these last couple of years,
Adam?
Is
it the bench press?
Oh, of course. We're watching, literally as we speak, Cedric Van Pran is doing the bench press, making 225 pounds look like a toothpick. Adam, if I sat under that bench right now, I would be struggling to move it.
He's putting that up at record speed.
Yeah, this is actually impressive. Like, this is fun.
I mean, he's up to 15 reps.
I'd be curious what his final reps are at the end. I don't even know what, like, the record is, but he's making it look easy, man. Come on, give me two more, Cedric. Give me two more.
Oh, he
gave
me two.
Give me one more, baby. Give me
one another
more.
One?
He's fighting it. He's fighting it.
You
give
can
me
tell.
One more. Look at Scott Sinclair.
Oh,
behind
there we go.
Him. Come on. Ah, there we go.
I mean, the man, it seems like he did 30 of them.
Hold on one second. Let me see if I can.
But see, this just makes me, like, there's no way I could do this now, and I don't want to talk about myself, but this does make me feel good that I got my little 19 when I did.
I was hoping, I know.
You can hear the guy go, hey, I could never do that. I mean.
I was hoping they were going to give the number there, but they didn't give it to us. We'll find out in a little while. But, no, spring football is fun. Spring practice starts this week. A lot of good – in fact, I was kind of wait till next week to kind of see what storylines develop, because we can preview all we want. It's just sort of – I'm a little tired of speculation right now.
There's a lot – and this is the thing, Logan, you being in sports radio, it seems like there's over-speculation to the point of, you know, let's just not talk about it anymore. Let's just wait until we get some tape.
But, yeah, so this week we'll learn more, hopefully, and get some storylines out. I do hate the Pierce Spurlin news. He's our backup tight end that came out yesterday. He's not going to be able to play football anymore. I think I'm saying it right. Congenitive heart disease or something.
Yeah, yeah.
He has some condition that will not let him play football anymore. A very, very good, highly recruited tight end. So you hate that kind of stuff. And I wish him nothing but the best. He'll stay on scholarship and hopefully gets a great degree and does great things in life, but it's just not going to be playing football.
That's tough when you have something you really can't control and you're just like, oh, man. I know that Chris Bosh, NBA legend who played for the Miami Heat with LeBron James, he had to retire because of that exact thing.
All right, let's tune in. This is Amarius Mims.
All right.
I'm not going to play this on air. I don't want to rebroadcast. Let's count this, though.
Okay, so
this is our best, most ridiculously dominant offensive line. You can count it. Ready?
He one, two. He's up three, going at record speed.
Four, five, six.
This is unbelievable.
You're still counting.
I'm counting. Where he's up to 10. And this is like doing it with ease.
He looks like he's like not
he's
even
at 13,
like halfway through his like
14.
He might be slowing down a little bit.
He is slowing down.
Did he not eat enough breakfast this morning?
No, look at this. He's at 15.
I expected a little bit more of Marius.
Man.
You know, Scott Sinclair, he's pumping him up. Hey,
oh,
man.
Oh, yeah. He's saying
like halftime, baby.
He's saying
half-time.
Things
Let's
we can't
go.
Say on the radio.
What are we up to now?
We are at 19.
19.
Can he put
cow.
Up his 20th?
Come on, baby. Yeah, you can put up 20.
Oh, he got 20. He's got
22.
Look, you could see
Scott Sinclair. Oh, those arms are starting to get jelly.
See, if you're holding it up long, he's not
good. That's all good.
The longer you hold up a bench, you're not coming
back. If you're
back
catching
now.
Your breath, that's a bad thing. Now, that dude right there is going to be a first-round draft pick. I hate that he got injured against Bama early. Otherwise, I think we would have won.
I mean, isn't it amazing just to see the athletes Georgia just keeps putting on the bench? It's just unbelievable.
All right, let's hit a quick break, Adam. Come back and wrap up this edition of the Second String Podcast. I'm loving this Pro Day stuff, man, but spring football back, Braves baseball on the very near horizon, and Georgia baseball looking good. Happy spring, everybody. We'll be right back for a couple more minutes on the other side. Second String, WGAU.
Now back to the Second String on 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, Athens News and Weather Station.
We just watched a couple more players do their bench press, and Adam and I have agreed that we are not cut out to play SEC football.
No, I guess it's enough to do something else. You know, I mean, there are things in life that I got to accept that that's not going
to
happen.
Got to go do other things to make money because we ain't going to do it on a gridiron. I've always felt that there should be, for reference, like when I'm watching the Olympics and I'm watching a 12 world-class, literally the best in the world, about to run a 100-yard, 100-meter dash, I want to stick you on the same track just so I can, like, understand what it's like for the average person versus the, like, world-class athletes. When I'm watching this bench press, I want to go lay down under that bar and show you that I'm struggling to do it once, if that, so that it gives a little bit more understanding for how special these athletes are. You know what I'm saying?
Do you know what kind of workout regimen do these athletes do to be able to come out in front of these cameras and put up 20 reps of this bench?
225 on the bench.
And do it not slow. I mean, they're flying through this.
I mean, this is why, and Georgia's not alone in this. We're not Tennessee where, we're in everything. We get our guys to work out. Auburn. We're family. You can't be family. No, every college obviously has a great strength and conditioning program. But, I mean, I've seen behind the scenes at Georgia, they're pretty darn good at what they do, man.
Like, they just push people around. I mean, that's just a testament to what they do.
They're under strict diet, this and that, man. You don't see a lot of these guys down there drinking beers on Thursday night like I used to do, man. But, hey, all power to them.
And by the way, if you stuck me on a track, the average Olympic sprinter runs about 22 miles an hour.
What was your highest? Because you sound like you were pretty good at track.
What
was your highest mile per hour?
I never did it. Did it. I don't know.
We gotta make this a thing.
I mean, they're running in the nines, Logan.
One of our great listeners, Officer Charles, who works for the Georgia State Patrol, he literally calls us while he's like clocking traffic sometimes. Maybe we can get him in the parking lot. We can run down the parking lot.
Well,
and we'll
get him
clock
to
us.
Yeah, the clock is on the
I
radar.
Think I could hit like 13 or 14.
I'll hold you to that.
I mean,
that's
we'll see. Is that good? Is that fast?
I mean. No.
No. The honesty.
No. But it's all right. I mean,
oh, man.
It is what it is. I mean,
where's my mouse? I don't know. There he goes.
Let's do a quick fact check.
You know, we could go out there and do that.
That was Kareem just buzzing me for fun, man.
Which one of us can run faster?
Oh, goodness. All right. Parting words. You got 1 minute and 15 seconds to give the people a motivational speech, Adam. Anything you
want
to do?
I think if you want a workout, pre-workout routine, you need to watch Georgia's Pro Day. Go on ESPN or whatever it is and pull that up, and that'll get you pumped to go to the gym.
I think it does. Like, I literally want to go to the gym watching these guys.
I mean, now they're on the field, and that would be what I do, Logan. Like I would watch that and say, I'm motivated.
I know the gym, it's hard to get motivated to go do stuff, but like when I'm actually in the gym and I've already stretched and I've got the weights in my hands, like I do enjoy it.
Right. You get to that point.
It makes you feel good, and you're like in the zone working out and getting out of breath and pumping some weights. I do like it. It's just the, like, I'm going to leave in a minute. Do I want to go home and eat Cheetos, or do I want to go to the gym? A lot of times Cheetos wins, and I hate that. But that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Because they're there. The gym is not. You got to go to it. Yeah.
It's so easy to go home and do whatever. All right, Adam, we got 20 seconds left. We got to get out of here. Good edition and good show as always. And next week we'll have
brackets.
Excited
to get the brackets ready. Yep.
We'll have brackets. The Braves are getting really, really close, by the way. So excited to see what happens. But, yes, be happy, man. We played a lot of happy music for a reason today. I think the vibe is good. And keep it going until next week.
Let's go.
We'll be right back here on the Second String Podcast, WGAU.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.